Church conference call worship service for March 22nd. Cindy, you're on. Thank you, Karen.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to our first ever BUC conference call worship service live from Cheltenham. In my 31 years of ministry, this is the first time I have preached over the phone in my holy jeans that Coral threatens to throw out, and my white and red Canada cap. Well, I'll maybe not, but I'll never tell. It's wonderful to be preaching to a congregation, but it's interesting to be not physically in front of you, whom I can't see. But actually, you know, I can see you because I've copied a picture of our congregation from the Amalgamation Sunday, so I can see every one of you. So thank you for joining in. For some of you, this is the first time that you too can come to church in your pajamas or your exercise or leisure clothes or maybe holy jeans. You can put your feet up, you can relax with a cup of coffee or tea, with a cookie or a piece of toast with honey and jam, or you might be like Ruby, whom I can imagine is getting up and down, moving about the room, multitasking, while listening to me on the speakerphone. So feel free to be comfortable as you experience the service. And I want to thank Brian for setting up the conference call for us and hosting it this morning. My thanks to Janice Chermak for reading our scripture lesson, and to Karen for playing her lovely sounding baby grand piano from her living room, and John jumping in with the trumpet. So it's just like being at church. And also special thanks to Carol McLean and Linda Fujita and Kaz Shikaze, who've been at work on our behalf to make sure the administration and operation of our church continues as smoothly as possible. So after the service, I invite you to feel free to drop an email or make a phone call to Kaz or myself just to tell us how the experience was today. Let us know if you had any problems connecting or hearing. It was wonderful at the beginning. It sounded like Pentecost as everyone was joining in and talking, just like being at church. We are all experiencing right now an unprecedented time in the history of our world. Never before have we experienced the effects of a global pandemic. For some, it is an uncertain time. For others, it is fear-filled time, and for some, it is a sad and tragic time as they grieve the passing of loved ones from this virus. In times of crisis, our Christian faith can be a source of great comfort and support. I feel this is a wonderful gift that we can come together, each in our own homes, to worship, praise God, and be comforted in God's arms of compassion and love, of love and care. So please know, God is with you to give you the courage and strength to journey forward one day at a time. For those of you who have an order of worship, I invite you to follow along with me. Although your phone is muted, you can feel free to read the prayers, sing, or even hum the hymns out loud. No one will hear you singing, for the scriptures say to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So in a spirit of faith and hope, let us now worship God. And so we will begin with the call to worship. I invite you just to take a moment now to breathe deeply and to center yourself in the love of God. As long nights give way to light and winter sleep to fresh beginnings, we come today to be reminded of God's love for us. Like the green shoots of renewed life stirring beneath the soil, we are reawakening to God's word in our lives. In this time of worship and reflection, let us reaffirm our identity as children of God. Let us worship together in a spirit of hope and of joy. Let us join, and you're welcome to join if you like, in the opening prayer. Let us pray. God of hope and promise, we come before you as people who long for light in our darkness and meaning in our confusion. Give us both sight and insight to see the world from your perspective. Expand our vision and touch us with your truth, that we may embrace life in all its fullness as we greet each new day. Amen. Karen and John are now going to say a couple verses of Morning Has Broken, and you can hum or sing along.
Cindy, if you can't hear, let me know.
I can hear you.
Okay.
You to hear my voice, or you might all hang up. So We will continue as we join in our prayer for grace. Let us pray together. Visionary God, open our faith to see ourselves as we are and could be, to see others as you see them, with grace and compassion. Help us to see possibilities instead of problems. Open our eyes to visions of what we can accomplish together. May we all seek to live in unity and in service to you. Amen. And the good news of the gospel is that God always loves us and is always with us to support and encourage us. May God's hope strengthen and enrich your life each day. Amen. So I'm going to hear from Jenna. She's going to read our gospel lesson.
Janice, is Brian to unmute, press star 7. Cannot hear you.
The gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind. His disciples asked him, "Teacher, whose sin caused him to be born blind? Was it his own or his parents' sin?" Jesus answered, "His blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins. He is blind so that God's power might be seen at work in him. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light for the world." After he said this, Jesus spat on the ground and made some mud with the spittle. He rubbed the mud on the man's eyes and told him, "Go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam." This name means sent. So the man went, washed his face, and came back seeing. His neighbors then, and the people who had seen him begging before this, asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "He is the one." But others said, "No, he isn't. He just looks like him." So the man himself said, "I am the man." "How is it that you can now see?" they asked him. He answered, "The man called Jesus made some mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash my face. So I went, and as soon as I washed, I could see." "Where is he?" they asked. "I don't know," he answered. Then they took to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. The day that Jesus made the mud and cured him of his blindness was a Sabbath. The Pharisees then asked the man again how he had received his sight. He told them, "He put some mud on my eyes. I washed my face. Now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "The man who did this cannot be from God, for he does not obey the Sabbath law." Others, however, said, "How could a man who is a sinner perform such miracles as these?" And there was a division among them. So the Pharisees asked the man once more, "You say he cured you of your blindness. Well, what do you say about him?" "He's a prophet," the man answered. The Jewish authorities, however, were not willing to believe that he had been blind and could now see until they called his parents and asked them, "Is this your son? You say that he was born blind. How is it then that he can now see?" The man's parents answered, "We know that he is our son. And we know that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he is now able to see, nor do we know who cured him of his blindness. Ask him, he's old enough, and he can answer for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, who had already agreed that anyone who said he believed that Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That is why his parents said, "He is old enough. Ask him." A second time, they called back the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Promise before God that you will tell the truth. We know that this man who cured you is a sinner." "I do not know if he is a sinner or not," the man replied. "One thing I do know. I was blind, and now I see." "What did he do to you?" they asked. "How did he cure you of your blindness?" "I have already told you," he answered, "and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Maybe you, too, would like to be his disciples?" They insulted him and said, "You are that fellow's disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for that fellow, however, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "What a strange thing that is. You don't know where he comes from, but he cured me of my blindness. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He does listen to people who respect him and do what he wants them to do. Since the beginning of the world, nobody has ever heard of anyone giving sight to a person born blind. Unless this man came from God, he would not be able to do a thing." They answered, "You were born and brought up in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" And they expelled him from the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man answered, "Tell me who he is, sir, so that I can believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have already seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you now." "I believe, Lord," the man said, and knelt down before Jesus. Jesus said, "I came to this world to judge, so that the blind should see, and those who see should become blind." Some Pharisees who were there with him heard him say this and asked him, "Surely you don't mean that we are blind too?" Jesus answered, "If you were blind, then you would not be guilty. But since you claim that you can see, this means that you are still guilty. May God's blessings be added to these words."
Thank you, Janice. Thank you for reading it so beautifully. It truly is amazing how much we miss seeing with our eyes when we look at the scenery around us. We may feel we're looking intensely at something in front of us, but we miss so much. Our mind just can't take in all that our eyes are seeing. Three ministers went fishing after church one Sunday. They put their fishing gear in the rowboat and they rowed out about 15 feet from the shore. The minister sitting at the front of the boat got hungry and realized they had forgotten their sandwiches on the shore. So she got up, walked across the water, picked up the sandwiches, and then returned to the boat. A half hour later, the minister sitting in the middle of the boat got up thirsty and realized they had forgotten their drinks. So she got up, walked across the water, picked up the drinks, and returned to the boat. It was about an hour later, and they ran out of worms. They had more in the car, so the minister at the back of the boat volunteered to go and get the worms. So the minister stood up and stepped out of the boat and plunged under the water. She came up gasping for air, and she heard the minister say to the other minister, "I guess we should have told her where the stones were." The reality is, we do not always see or tune in to everything that is around us. And as a result, we can miss out on a lot. Perhaps even more so, we can miss out on what is truly important. In the scripture of Jesus healing the blind man, you would think that the focus would be on celebrating with the man who was blind, who now miraculously can now see. But the reality was that the scripture focused more on the reaction of the people around the blind man. The scripture tunes into the people's response to the healing. When Jesus' disciples first see the blind man, they ask Jesus, who was the one who sinned? Was it the blind man who sinned before he was born? Or was it the blind man's parents? In Jesus' day, the people believed that any disability or illness a person had was the result of sin. But Jesus refutes the disciples' assumption that blindness is the result of sin. In our lives, we tend to tune in to what is really not the main point rather than what is truly important. Will Brewer, a 34-year-old, was elected the town crier in Halifax 2 years ago, and yesterday he was elected president of the student union at Mount St. Vincent University. A person interviewing Will asked, "What is your disability?" And Will responded, "I don't have one. I am Will. That is who I am. Down syndrome is an extra chromosome, which is also extra love," he said. The gift of being elected president for Will is when people focus on his ability, not his disability. Will is happy that people truly see him as a leader. He says, "There are so many opportunities for people with Down syndrome." He says, "We need to live big and raise ourselves to our full potential and not focus on our limits." In the scripture of the healing of the blind man, the response of the townspeople was that some said, "Yes, he was the blind beggar." But most said, "No, he was not the man they had seen every day for years." They said, "No, that's not him. It just looks like him." And his parents, rather than celebrating that their son who was blind all of his life can now see, instead they don't want to get involved in this situation because they feel the Pharisees, the church leaders, that they may remove them from the synagogue. They are too frightened to rejoice with their son who can see for the first time in his life. And the Pharisees, rather than responding to a healing that Jesus performed to help someone, they tune in to the fact that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, which was against the Jewish law. Our world is going through an unprecedented time of uncertainty and perhaps fear about what is happening around us. This seems to be all we hear on the news 24/7. It is tragic, it is devastating, it is sad, and it is a difficult time, and we all know this. But we also all know that it will come to an end. We will return, perhaps to a new way of living, or a new normalcy. But in the meantime, it might be good to tune in to some of the simple God moments of people reaching out to help each other, and perhaps make our day a little brighter. Here are just a few of the examples I saw this past week. In a neighborhood on the street in Toronto, people were asked to put shamrocks up in their windows on St. Patrick's Day so that the children could walk along the street, keeping their distance from each other, and count the number of shamrocks they see along the street. And they'd win a prize if they counted the right number. The adults were trying to get the children to be active and just to have some fun. Another example I saw was Dylan's Small Batch Distillery in Beamsville, who normally make gin and rye whiskey. They heard about the shortage of hand sanitizer, so they are using their machines to make small bottles of hand sanitizer at 65% alcohol mixed with aloe. In one day, they had over 1,000 requests from doctors, nurses, ICU units, hospitals, families who want to be safe. And so they were shipping out thousands of bottles of sanitizer. And in one Toronto neighborhood, neighbors are gathered on the front lawn of a senior who is living on her own. And they each stood at a distance from her, and each one held a letter of the words, "Happy Birthday." And they sang "Happy Birthday" to her as she stood outside her house waving at them. The woman was so happy that they did this for her. She felt loved and not alone. And then there was a 7-year-old named Nixon in Calgary who celebrated his 7th birthday on March the 17th. Nixon was so disappointed that the party had to be canceled. And so his dad tweeted his son's disappointment and asked people to tweet Nixon a happy birthday greeting. His dad was overwhelmed when he got 11,000 responses. It trended all over the world. It made Nixon's day feel that people cared. People are kind, and it is so important to take time to tune into God's love and comfort and joy at work in our lives and in the world today. I'd just like to close with a story about a woman named Fanny Crosby. Fanny was born in 1820 in New York, and when she was just 6 years old, she developed a cold that resulted in inflammation of her eyes. Her own doctor was away, and another man posing as a doctor took the call and treated her. He treated her with this hot poultice on her eyes, which made her condition worse, and it caused blindness in both eyes for the rest of Fanny's life. Fanny's mother was a Christian, so gave Fanny, as a child, lots of long scripture passages to memorize. And so faith became important to Fanny. She wrote poems as a child and had a great gift of imagery. At 15 years of age, she went to school for the blind and learned to play the piano, guitar, and to sing her compositions. She returned to the school at the age of 27 as a teacher of history and English. And she was 44 when she wrote her first hymn and wrote over 8,000 hymns, 5 a day. She was a speaker, and she was a preacher, and she died at the age of 95 in 1915. Fanny's most famous hymn that she wrote was called Blessed Assurance. She was at a friend's home for lunch one day, and the friend had a tune for Fanny to hear. She called it Assurance. Fanny heard it 3 times, and then she wrote the words, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." Fanny never focused on her blindness. Instead, she moved beyond it as she lived her life. She tuned into God's love and inspiration at work in her life. May we all remember to tune into God's presence in our hearts and minds as we go about our day-to-day lives. So I invite you now to sing or to hum as along as Karen and John play as Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And then that great chorus, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." So let us listen. let us unite now in a time of prayer. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, help us to feel and see your presence as comfort and care in our world during this time of the global spread of the coronavirus. We pray that those who are sick with the virus may soon regain their strength and health. We pray that the spirit of those who passed away will be at peace in your comforting arms. We ask that you be with the families of those who are sick and those grieving the passing of loved ones. May they feel your presence and your peace in their hearts and minds. Be with the doctors, nurses, researchers, orderlies, and all medical professionals who are seeking to treat and help those affected and who put their lives at risk in this process. May they know your courage and strength. We ask you to be with leaders of all countries. Give them the wisdom and strength to act with clarity and concern for the well-being of all peoples in their nations. Give them the wisdom to support long-term solutions that will protect the health of their people and bring peace of mind to the functioning of our world. Surround, O God, all people who are living in a sense of fear and uncertainty. Surround them with your loving care. Help us to find comfort from each other and from you as we physically isolate ourselves from one another. Help us to know we are never alone. Give us the energy to reach out to each other with phone calls, emails, texts, or even watching YouTube videos when we are in need of hearing a caring voice or reading some comforting words or seeing an uplifting or funny story. Remind us, O God, remind us all to laugh, to have fun, and to raise our spirits. Hear now, O God, our silent prayers for ourselves, for our family, for friends, for our community, and for our world. Hear our silent prayers. Loving God, as we are at home with family or on our own, may you hear the prayers being sent to you from our BUC family. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name, who brings us healing and unconditional love each moment of each day, and who taught us when we gather together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I hope that you have felt a little inspiration or meaning or comfort or a little bit of joy in this service. It was nice for me knowing that you were listening. It felt like we are together. Remember, we are never alone, that God is with us. I wish you blessings on your week, and remember to tune into God's love in your heart each day. Please call me whenever you feel like talking or need a listening ear. I am here. I'm here for you, hoping and to support, help, wanting to help and support you in any way that I can. So please feel free to call. Stay well, and I will look forward to worshiping with you next week. Same day, same time, same phone number. And I want to close now with the traditional Irish blessing that you're welcome to join with me in saying, May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of God's hands. Amen.
Church's conference call worship service for Sunday, March 22nd. Please tune in at 10:45 on Sunday, March 29th, and we'll do this once again. Please disconnect your call now. Thank you.